we have this Sunday and next Sunday left of summer. That's it. It's over. Kind of sad. Anybody else feel like summer just went way too fast? I mean, it was here and then it was gone. So the next 2 weeks, I want to try to wrap up our series that we've been going through this summer, Radical Discipleship. I want to kind of put a bow on it and call it good. And I had a lot of material left. There was a couple of Sundays where we went a different direction. I was gone one Sunday, and so I had actually about 3 or 4 more weeks worth of material that I had prepared for this summer series, and I was prayerfully considering what can I cut? What can I leave out? What can I mush together into one message? And I got to this place on the spiritual gifts that I just thought, you know, this really deserves its own message. Because this is big. This is where everything points to. We've talked about discipleship. We've talked about what it means to be a follower of Christ and how we have to continually be on that journey to be prepared, to be equipped, to be challenged, to grow so that we can serve the kingdom. And this is how we serve the kingdom. This is it. This is the nuts and bolts. I get that I'm supposed to serve. I get that I'm supposed to be a disciple. And I get all the training and stuff that goes into it, but what does that look like in real life? How can I do that? So that's where I want to go today. Last week we talked about how, as disciples, we're called to take part in the work of the ministry. We're called to function as a part of the larger body. All of us are part of the body. Some of us are hands and feet, and other ones are kneecaps and ears, and you know, we all have a different function. If we all did the same thing, we'd be boring. And we wouldn't be able to fulfill the mission that God has called us to be on. A body can't function fully and effectively if some of its parts are not fulfilling their role. Have you tried to go through a whole day without using a part of your body? It makes your day a little more difficult. Even the stuff that you don't think would really make a difference, really, at the end of the day, does. And if we don't use those parts long enough, what happens? What would happen if I just decided to stop using my right arm? If I just taped it up against my side? That arm would begin to wither, wouldn't it? An atrophy would set in. And pretty soon, even if I wanted to use that arm, it would be impossible. And if my arm decided it wanted to be a leg, I might still be able to function. I could probably learn to walk on my hands. But I would be exhausted. Because I would be using them for something that they were not created to do. And a lot of times we find ourselves in that position where we're trying to do something that we were not created to do because we think that that's what we're supposed to do or what the world expects of us. And so we're doing this over and over. And it's kind of like walking on our hands and pretty soon we get exhausted. We can't go nearly as far. We're not nearly as effective. And it's exhausting. It's hard work to work outside of the areas that we're called to work in. So maybe some of you left last week asking this question. How can I know what my part of the body is? How do I know if I'm a hand or a foot? How do I know if I'm an ear or a nose? In other words, what is my spiritual gift? What is that thing that God created me to do? What is that function that God gave me, that God blessed me with to be able to contribute to the larger whole of the body? First, I want to clarify a question that's been brought to me by several people during my limited ministry experience. Even early on in my youth ministry, I would have people come to me and say, "Do I have a spiritual gift? I don't think I have one. Do I have one?" Every believer has a spiritual gift. Every believer. The Holy Spirit graciously, that means it's a work of grace, gives us ministry abilities, spiritual gifts, so that every Christian can make a valued contribution to the whole, which is the body of Christ. In 1 Peter 4:10, Paul writes these words, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." As each one has received a gift. It doesn't say, as some of you receive your gift, as 50% of you receive your gift, as those of you that are spiritually mature receive your gift. No, it says as each one. It's a work of grace. It's a work of grace. So, As we put our trust into Jesus Christ, we receive salvation, which is a work of grace. And as part of that salvation package, as one of our perks, as part of our promotional deal, if you will, we are instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. As we say, Jesus, I trust you with my life. Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. I receive your atonement for my sins, and we believe that in our hearts. The Holy Spirit begins to dwell within us. And as that happens, we are blessed with a spiritual gift. But I think for some of us, we don't know what it is. We don't understand spiritual gifts. We deny that we have them. We're confused. I'm really not good at anything. What is my spiritual gift? Which is why I think that Paul starts 1 Corinthians 12 like he does. He says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." I think one of the reasons that we get ourselves into positions that we aren't suited for, or that we don't get involved in the body of Christ mission kingdom work at all, is that some of us are ignorant about our abilities. Ignorant doesn't mean stupid. It doesn't mean dumb. It means that we don't have enough knowledge to understand. We're ignorant about it. So the first question we need to answer is, what exactly is a spiritual gift and how does it work? So let's take a second to remove the cultural debris, the garbage that has been added to the idea of spiritual gifts. The words gifted or gift are used in different ways in Scripture than they are in everyday life. We have to understand that. A gifted person is one who excels in a particular field. For instance, Carl Lewis was a track star. He was gifted at track. He can run faster and jump farther than almost any other human being. Now, his record has since been broken, but there's only a handful of people that have ever done it faster than him, so he's gifted. A gifted student is someone with above-average intelligence. We hear people say that someone has a gift for fixing cars or making cherry pies, or that someone has the gift of gab. The way we use gifted or gift generally falls into the category of natural talents that God, out of his bounty, gives Christians and non-Christians alike. But spiritual gifts are possessed only by those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Only by those whom the Holy Spirit dwells within. Spiritual gifts are reserved for Christians. If you do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you don't have a spiritual gift. They're reserved for Christians to serve the world so that we can go and make disciples as we're called to do. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, Paul writes these words. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And in Romans 12:4 it says this, "For just as each one of us has one body with many parts, and these members do not all have the same function." So I want to look at a couple of words here this morning to help us understand what spiritual gifts are and how they're used. First, we notice that there's a word that's repeated a lot, and that word is different, which reveals a common characteristic of the spiritual gifts. Variety. Variety. God is a God of variety. If each one of us had the same spiritual gifts, the church wouldn't grow very much. The fact that the spiritual gifts are given in a variety is a revelation of God Himself, who is variety. One God in three persons. And we are one body of Christ made up of many parts. And not just this church, but the church across the world comes together to create the fullness of the body of Christ. The source of the gifts in verse 4 is the Spirit. In verse 5, the Lord Jesus, and in verse 6, God the Father. Variety. Paul is saying that the variety of gifts and expressions in the church is a revelation of the diversity of the Godhead. Different parts of God are revealed in the different persons, but it creates one God. It is one God. And so different parts of the church are represented by the individuals that make up the church. But we are one church. Now let's look at the words that Paul uses for gift or gifts. In verse 4, he simply says the word gift. The Greek word here is a compound word which actually translates to grace gift. So again, this is a work of grace. It's not something that we work really hard to get good at. Those are talents, those are abilities. But spiritual gifts are those things that God blesses us with. Supernatural abilities. Something that you were not good at before you put your trust in Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden now you are. Not only are we saved solely by grace, but given to us in our grace package is that gift that enables and motivates us to serve others in a unique way that contributes to the greater purpose of the body. Our gifts aren't for us. They're for others. Our gifts are not for us to feel good about ourselves or to elevate ourselves or to get ahead in life. They're for us to promote the mission of the church, which is to seek and save the lost and create disciples. In verse 5, he uses the word service. This word captures the spirit that our gifts are offered to others. Paul clearly shows us that the purpose of our gifts are not to attract attention to ourselves or build up our egos, but that they are to edify the body and work for its intended purpose. And in verse 7, Paul uses the phrase, the common good. And I think that's something that we really need to keep as a focus when we serve. Is this for the common good? Am I doing this to feel good about myself? Am I doing this to make myself look good or to make myself feel worthy? Or is this for the common good? Is this truly to move forward the church in the world today? Is it truly to widen the net of the kingdom? And the reason that Paul clarifies this is that during that time that he was writing this letter to the church in Corinth, this was happening. People were elevating certain gifts, the ones that were really fun to watch, like healing and speaking in tongues. And if you had those gifts, man, you were primo. But maybe if you had the gift of helps or the gift of mercy, well, we didn't really care about that. We don't want to see that very much. But all gifts are created for service. They're not to elevate us. They're to promote the common good. Another meaning for the word service has to do with the arena in which your gift is used. Your gift can be used in a large group, in a small group, one-on-one. Where is your gift best used? Where is it used to the fullest potential? Take a teacher, for instance, someone gifted in teaching. They can be effective in an auditorium or a coliseum. They could be effective in a classroom. They could be effective in a living room. They could be effective one-on-one over a cup of coffee. Just because you have a gift doesn't mean that it's best used in all arenas. So it's good to be aware of that. It's good to pay attention where your gift is used to its fullest potential. It's also good to pay attention to whom you are drawn to when it comes to ministry. Does your heart break for children? Does your heart break for divorced people? Does it break for certain ethnic groups? Does it break for teenagers? Does it break for parents? Does it break for homeless people? What does your heart break for? None of us can carry the full compassion of Jesus within us. It would break us. It would destroy us. And so even that is used in diversity. Each one of us gets a little bit of the fullness of the passion of Christ. And so what is it that your heart breaks for? Pay attention to that. Because your gift combined with what your heart breaks for, that is the pocket that you're called to serve in. So maybe you're really good at teaching in small groups of teenagers. Chris. Pay attention to those things. There's a reason that you feel that way. There's a reason that you're drawn to those things. There's a reason that you're more comfortable with different sizes of groups. It's because that's the way God created you. Next in verse 6, Paul uses the word working. This word comes from a Greek word that means energy. Other translations allude to different effects or impacts that our gifts could have. Each gift leaves its own imprint. If you have the gift of teaching, people should be transformed by the truth of the word. If you have the gift of evangelism, people should come to know Christ. If you have the gift of mercy, then the sick and hurting should be comforted. Did you realize that not all of us are gifted in all ways? I don't have the gift of mercy. And so I can do my best to comfort someone that's hurting. But I'm just going to fall short in some of those areas. But somebody that does have that gift can go visit that person, and instantaneously there's comfort present in the room. It's supernatural. It's not something we can force. When we use our gift, it's like drinking cold, fresh water on a hot day. Do you believe that? When you serve, does it feel refreshing to you, or is it exhausting? Do you get excited about serving, or do you dread it? If you dread it, if it's exhausting, there's a good chance that you're working outside of your giftedness. There's a good chance that you're forcing it. Somewhere along the way, service got this bad reputation. That it should be drudgery. That it should feel like sacrifice. And there are sacrifices, don't get me wrong. We do have to give up some of these things that our flesh desires to do so that we can serve. But when we're serving in our giftedness, it's refreshing, it's life-giving, it's energizing. And when we force ourselves to serve outside of our giftedness, it's life-draining. It becomes drudgery, and it's exhausting. Ray Stedman, who wrote the book Body Life, writes this idea on this concept. Somewhere, this idea found deep entrenchment in Christian circles, that doing what God wants you to do is always unpleasant, that Christians must make choices between doing what they want to do and being happy, and doing what God wants them to do and being miserable. Anybody feel that way? I really want to do what God wants me to do, but I know it's going to just be horrible. I've met people like that. It's sad, and it's a lie. When we operate in our giftedness, we're being carried along in a current of love. You don't have to force it. It just becomes natural. Nobody ever taught me to swim. I kind of learned on my own. And what happened was, one summer I was in California visiting family, and all of my cousins and everybody were jumping off the diving board, and I never even tried to swim. And I thought, that looks like a lot of fun. So me, being the smart person that I am, climbed up on the diving board and just jumped right in. Turns out I could swim. And it was fun. That's kind of like what it is to use your spiritual gift. Maybe you're not really even sure that you're good at it. But when you climb up on the diving board and jump in and realize, man, God blessed me to be able to do this. It's fun. Sure, there's hard work involved. Sure, there's dedication. Sure, there's sacrifice. But the fulfillment that you get isn't surface. It's deep, true, spiritual, supernatural joy and fulfillment. That when you're doing this, you say, this is what I was created to do. And it makes you excited. And you can't wait to do it again. And then in Romans 12:4, Paul uses the word function. And from the word translated as function, we get our English word for practice. Other areas of Scripture translate the word as good deeds, and basically it refers to the way we use our gifts in pragmatic and natural feeling ways. It's how we take the spiritual nature of our gift and make it physical. If you're supernaturally gifted as a teacher, this would be teaching. Actually teaching someone using God's word. If you're supernaturally gifted as a pastor, this would be pouring into people's lives, equipping them, motivating them. If you're supernaturally gifted as someone who is gifted in intercessory prayer, this would be actually getting on your knees and interceding for someone. It's the way with which we make the spiritual physical. So putting this all together, I think a good definition for spiritual gifts could be this. Our ministry capacity or abilities given by the Spirit that express our unique motivation for building up the body of Christ and contributing to its common good. Those things that God has blessed us to do, that we do well, that aren't for us, but they're for other people. And one last thing I just want to cover before we close today. What is my responsibility when it comes to my gift? Where does that fall? To discover and use the gifts that God has given us is the responsibility of every believer. So if you sit here today and you don't know what your gift is, or you do know what your gift is and you're not using it, or if you haven't developed it, if you haven't intentionally sought out that development through your discipleship process, you're dropping the ball. Like the servants in the parable of the talents, we too will one day have to answer to our master for how we've invested the talents that he's trusted us with. And sadly, there are many of us in the body who choose to bury our talents, like that third servant. And the main cause for burying our talents is fear. Fear in many forms. Fear of failure or taking a risk. What if I fail? What if I'm not good at it? What if I get laughed at? What if I get persecuted? You know, Timothy had that fear too. And Paul wrote these words to Timothy. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Fear that locks us up inside, that keeps us from fully serving out of our giftedness, is not from God. Remember that the Spirit of God always points us and others to Christ. And the Spirit of God helps us to conquer our fears of what might happen, so that we could press on towards the common good. Another one is fear of confronting pain. Maybe you served out of your gift before and it didn't end well for you. Maybe there was conflict. Maybe there were abrasive relationships. Maybe the use of your gift was to address a very hard situation. And the pain that comes with those memories is just too great and you can't face it again. We have to find healing for those. We cannot be debilitated by our fear, by past hurts. Seek out healing. Identify what it is that's causing that fear. And then prayerfully address it. Face that fear. And there are other people in the body that are gifted to help you do that. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. We don't have to do it alone. Another one is a fear of commitment. Maybe if we claim ignorance of our gifts, we don't have to serve. If I just keep saying I don't know what I'm gifted in, I can just do whatever I want. If I reveal my gift, then I have to use it. I'll be locked in for life. Bummer. As soon as someone knows my gift, I'll be accountable to serve with it. Accountability is scary for some people. But when we face our fears, it can lead to breaking through. And on the other side is actually liberation, freedom, joy. Those scary thoughts, those things that keep us from serving, those are lies of the enemy. And the truth is, once we serve in our giftedness, we get that life-giving joy. When we find that pocket, when we find that sweet spot, there's nothing better. And there is still fear. Every Sunday, right before I walk up here, my heart's beating 100 miles an hour when I'm sitting back there next to Isaac. But it's a reverent fear. I'm about to wield the Word of God. I think there should be a little bit of fear with that, don't you think? And as each one of us use our gifts, we are representing Jesus Christ to the world. There should be some reverence with that. But you know what happens? Is as I sit there and I say, God, this isn't about me. It's about you. And I faithfully walk up here. And about halfway down the aisle, that fear turns into excitement. And as I get up here, that passion begins to boil within me. And I just can't wait to share with you what God has revealed to me this week through my prayer and study. Because I know that it's not just for me. I know He supernaturally blessed me with this message to give to you today. This is my pocket. This is my sweet spot. I had a lot more, but I'm going to stop for now. The fact is, there's not a magic test. You can go online and find a spiritual gifts assessment. You can take it if you want. I don't put much weight on those. There's not a magic formula that can say, man, what's my spiritual gift? The reality is we just have to live, do life together, be part of the body of Christ. And maybe for a while you're going to be an arm working as a leg, but you're going to figure out that that's not where you're called to serve. Maybe the other leg is going to come along and say, you're not really a leg. You're not real good at that. But you know what? I think you'd be great at this. Affirmation. Trial and error. I've told you before, it's okay to try something on. See if it fits. If not, don't do it. We won't call you a quitter. I promise. I would love for you to come to me and say, you know, I've been doing this for a little while, and it's just not for me. It's not life-giving to me. It's life-taking. And I'll say, awesome. Thanks for coming. Let's find something that is life-giving to you. Trial and error is okay in the body of Christ. It's okay. Seek feedback from other people. Explore your critical feelings. This is another good way to reveal what you might be gifted in. If you're sitting there watching somebody do something and think, man, I could do that a whole lot better than they could, maybe that's an area you're called to be working in. Be careful with that, though. Prayerfully approach that, because it could just mean that you have a critical spirit. And that you need to repent of. But I would love to sit with any of you that desire to know and seek out what your gift is. Maybe you know what your gift is and you're just looking for a way to develop it. I'd love to do that too. Again, that's my pocket. That's my sweet spot. Discipleship, spiritual growth, spiritual formation. That's what I love. That's what God has given me the passion for. And so as you continue to seek out what he's given you passion for, I would love to walk with you and help you discover that. So let's not end the summer of radical discipleship next Sunday and just be like, man, that was good stuff. What's next? But let's really use it for something. Let's begin to prayerfully discern what it is that God has uniquely called you to do. Let's figure out what part of the body you are and begin to start using those body parts so that we don't have atrophy and so that we are functioning as a full, healthy body, doing the things that God is calling us to do, which I'm convinced is far more than just coming together and having a good time. We're getting outside of our walls, and that's great, but man, there's so much more, so much more. This is just the tip of the iceberg. There are people all around us, even in Bangor, Iowa, Bangor, not Union, Bangor, that don't know the love and hope of Jesus, right here in our own backyard. So what can we do to better function for the common good? Let's find out. Amen? Let's pray. God, you're good. And even though there's a lot of weight on some people's shoulders today, Lord, you promise us a yoke that is easy and light. And so, Lord, I pray as those with heavy hearts continue their journey, Lord, that they would turn to you and turn to others in their faith community to help them bear the burden. It's not theirs to bear alone. And Lord, I pray as we begin to discover and utilize and develop our gifts, that some of those gifts would address those heavy hearts. And that our body would be nursed back to health so that we can function as you've created us to function. Lord, it's an exciting time to be a member of the body of Christ. Your Holy Spirit is on the move. There's work to be done. Lord, help us be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.